Well, good morning. Everyone get enough sleep? Amen. Who didn't get enough sleep? All right. Well, you'll have to get it later. Because if I see you sleeping, I'm going to get you. Well, praise God. Amen. Well, let's do what I always like to do. Let's stand back up. Amen. Why don't you find one good-looking person, grab them, shake them, say, stay awake. This won't last too long. Amen. Shake somebody. If you see somebody who hasn't been shaken, shake them. Get the blood flowing. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. I want to read something to you before we pray. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's John 1:4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The difference between philosophy and the gospel, particularly the gospel of Jesus Christ, is in the words quoted from the scripture. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now listen to this. Philosophy is light. It is the best light the individual possessed at the time who framed the philosophy. But it is not a life giver. But from the soul of Jesus, there breathed a holy, living life of God that comes into the nature of a man and woman, quickens him by its power, and by the grace of God, he has the life of Jesus in him, which is eternal life. Many of the ancient philosophies have a marvelous light. One of the Indian philosophies, Bhagavad, was written 500 years before the book of Isaiah. In it, they predicted the coming of the Son of God, a Redeemer who was to come and redeem mankind. Buddha presented his philosophy 500 years before Jesus. Pythagoras wrote 4,000 years before Jesus Christ. Now check this out. In each of them, you will find many of the teachings of Jesus. The teachings of Jesus were not unique in that they were all new. They were new because they contained something that none of the rest possessed. It is the divine content in the word of Jesus Christ that gave his teachings their distinguishing feature from all other philosophies. That content, that element, is the life of God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This gospel that we preach of Jesus, that I as passionately and boldly declared last night, this is not like any other thing anyone on the planet has ever heard, because it contains the life of God. That's why we approach this gospel with a holy reverence. That's why we respect our Bible and the Word of God with reverence. That's why every day, every single day, and throughout the day, we bring it into our thoughts. That's why we gave you that book last night, so that you have extra tools with your Bible to bring into your thoughts the life of God, bringing into your everyday speech the life of God. When you talk as a born-again believer, you are to display with your words, with every word, the life of God. In your normal conversations, you're not like everybody else. You are displaying the life of God. When you're talking about baseball, when you're talking about soccer, because the life of God is in you, though you might not be talking about the subjects of the Word of God, the life of God is coming out of you in every word. It has to, because you're of Him. It's important that you know who you are, so you're not tripped up in trying to act like something that you're not. Many people spend their whole life trying to be something that they're not. It's important to know you are of Him. As He is, 1 John 5 says, as He is, so are you now in this world. Turn to that scripture with me. You can't take over anything with God's power unless you know of God's power. You can't share the power of God unless you realize that you are empowered by God. Your testimony is about to take a step up. Your witness is about to take a step up. Why? Because you're finding out with every word here at this conference. You're finding out who you are. You have the life of God in you, and that's what separates you from everybody else. When you talk, it's the life of God coming out of you, no matter what you're talking about. Now, knowing that will keep you and cause you to want to talk a certain way and not talk a certain way. On the inside of you, I was talking last night for a moment that there's something different about you when you're in the grocery store. You recognize things about people. Remember this? You see things differently. You see people, and your heart cries out. The Holy Spirit coming up on the inside of you wants you to take over a situation, and He's revealing things unto you by the Spirit. That's not just you. That's Him in you. He's talking to you. And in that moment, it's important that you recognize it. Many of you, all of you, have recognized those moments all your life. That's what is different about us, about the message, about our life. Listen, the thing that separates us is that life of God. And it's awesome. Not to sound old school, it's glorious. It's monumental. When you respond, remember last night the subject material, just to rehash for a minute, we'll move on. Whatever He tells you to do, that's Him in the marketplace. That's Him in the school. That's Him at your own house, speaking to you at the dinner table, giving you things to say to bless your family with. I encourage you, step over that line I was talking about last night. When you recognize this is a God moment. Listen, you recognize those moments. Help me, Holy Ghost. Never miss the supernatural searching for the spectacular. Never miss the supernatural constantly in search of the spectacular. When Jesus was walking through the streets, supernatural things happened all the time. And at the moment, nothing about it seemed like it was going to be spectacular. Just another day with the life of God in Him. For you, it's the same way. Just another day with the life of God in you. We're sometimes looking for angels to split walls open or the clouds to open up or something spectacular to happen. And the Holy Spirit speaking to you little words. And He's saying, hey, go over here and say this. Ask this person that. See what they have to say about this. Engage with them. Because when you engage with them, you affect them. Why? You have no choice. The life of God is in you, and it's bigger than you. And it's stronger than you. And He knows what He's doing. Whatever He tells you to do.
I think in the last few years, many youth groups I've visited have backed away from the concept of this: if you even think it's God, do it. If you even think it's God, do it. That's not something you want to throw under the covers. If you even think it's God, do it. I'd rather miss it doing something than to never do anything at all. Peter stepped out of the boat. Yeah, he started to sink, but he was the only one that stepped out. It takes somebody to step out with a word from God. And I know that where we're at today, there's all kinds of messages that embrace the idea that we're supposed to consider everything and everyone's feelings and how this will be and the delivery. Don't you worry so much about the delivery. One, you're never going to be cool enough. Not everyone's going to think you're cool. I think you're cool. But not everyone's going to think you're cool. You could spend all your life trying to deliver the message of Jesus in a really cool manner and miss every bit of the supernatural because you thought more about the delivery than what you're delivering and who you're delivering it for. God will lead you to say some things and do some things that in the natural mind, in that moment, the enemy will try to keep you from saying it, try to keep you from doing it. What? He wants to keep you in the boat. He wants to keep you in the playground. He wants to keep you where he's got everybody else. He doesn't mind you being born again. He doesn't mind you having a worship experience. He doesn't mind you being filled with the Holy Spirit as long as you don't get out of the fence or the box that he's built in your mind. It's time to get out of the fence. I'm going to say something that youth pastors have told me all over the place in the last few years. Now, Joey, I know that you're a wild preacher and stuff, but this type of group, this group ain't like everybody else, you know. So we don't really encourage the people to get on the lunchroom tables anymore and preach the gospel because, you know, and we don't encourage people to do this and that. You know, it's a different time and it's a different season. No, it's not a different time. Last I look, it's still going. Man, when things in the world change, the Word of God stays the same. We don't grow according to the world system. We grow according to the Word system. It's the life of God that we're bringing. Can you say a good amen? Did you find 1 John? I gave you a long time. If you hadn't found it by now, you might as well give up. 1 John's right before 2 John. 1 John chapter 5. I think it's 501. No, chapter 4. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness. Everyone say boldness in the day of judgment. Now, if you're wondering when that is, that's going on right now. Two things that the world is full of is judgment and grace. And you know which side of that you're on. You're in the grace side. You've been graced. By grace, through faith, you've been saved. Everyone say, I'm on the grace side. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is good to me. But though we're not under the judgment, there's judgment all around us. And he said, herein, our love is made perfect right now. Our love is made perfect, and we have boldness in this day. Though things are happening in the world, we have boldness in this day. I have boldness in this day because of him. I have boldness in this day because of his word, and the word that I'm daily putting in me gives me boldness. I mix that, like last night, we took off and praying in other tongues. I mix that with feeding my spirit, man, the word of God, and stirring it up. It eventually comes out of me. What is it? It's the life of God. Amen. It's the life of God. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Look over, let's find out how he is. Look over at Acts 10. 38. How God anointed or empowered Christed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. As he is, so are we now in this world. Jesus is anointed by God. God was with Jesus. As he is, so are we now in this world. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. As he is, so are we now. Look at Luke chapter 4. Verse 18, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. As he is, so are we now in this world. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus, then the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because as he is, so am I now. How many times are you going to say it, Joey? We're going to keep saying it. As he is, so am I now. He's anointed. I'm anointed. He's empowered. I'm empowered. God is with him. God is with me. God is on his hands. God is on my hands. God's in these feet. These feet are ordered of the Lord. The steps of a righteous man. I am a righteous man because he is a righteous man. As he is, so am I now. Now, if you'll meditate on that, and say that over and over again. Last night I told you, say the name of Jesus 100 times a day. Say it when you get up. People say, "I wish I had a better prayer life." Bring Jesus into it. It'll be awesome. Start every prayer with his name. End every prayer with his name. In the middle of that prayer, fill it with his name. And guess what? You'll have a pretty good prayer. His name is what completes your prayer life. His name is what completes every good prayer. Every faith-filled prayer, every power prayer contains his name, because he is the power. In him was the life of God. In him was the life of God. As he is, so are we now. If the life was in him, the life is in me. You remember the statement, "The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, and it quickens this mortal body." Because he dwells in me. As he is, so am I now in this world. The man who wrote this book, John G. Lake, the statement I started with, he fed his faith every day. How many brushed their teeth this morning? Bless the hearts of those around you if you did not raise your hand. I would have you consider an Altoid. This man would look at himself every morning in the mirror as he was getting ready for his day. And he would look at himself so he would see himself do it. Oh, it's so important that you have the right self-image. Some of you need to look at yourself in the mirror for an hour or so and get a good glimpse of you and see that God made you awesome and change that outlook of you. You can't do anything for anybody else if you're not confident in who he's made you to be. Listen, concerning the revival you're going to start, concerning the people you're going to reach, there's got to be some confidence that he's in you. If I'm assured that he's in me, he's with me, and as he is, so am I now, I have something to give you. Because what I've got now is valuable. And when I talk to you, you know it's true and you know it's real. You ever met a salesperson who doesn't believe in their product? Sure. You didn't buy anything from them. But you meet somebody, you weren't even planning on buying anything today. But they know their product so well, and they know how convenient it is. and how inexpensive it is for you to obtain. And they know how awesome it is and how it has now changed their life. And they cannot remember how they ever lived life without this thing. Why do you think you carry an iPhone or an Android or whatever it is you have? Somebody believed in that product and now you believe in it. But give it a year or so, something else will come out and you'll believe in that. And they'll tell you to believe in it and you will buy it. Now some of you are just rebellious enough to go, I won't buy it. And you're sitting there with your iPhone in your pocket right now and you're proving my whole point. Hello? You have your ball cap on and representing your sports team and your shoes and your Nikes and everything you got that was all made in a foreign country, in a hut somewhere, and it's marked Indonesia or wherever it was, and somebody put a label on it that told you, this is cool, and this is why you do what you do. You are a product of a salesperson somewhere sitting in a cubicle coming up with things for you to buy. You know what's funny about it? We have the ultimate thing that people will buy, because in this was the light. And in Him was the life of God, the light of men. In Him is everything. How come we're finding it so difficult to sell to people when everybody on the planet has to have it? I'll tell you why. Because we're not sold on it ourselves. Don't throw anything at me. But when you get sold on this gospel and you get sold on this Jesus, more valuable to you than your iPad or your iPhone or your ball club or your tennis shoes. He is more valuable than anything ever. And He paid the most valuable price that anyone ever paid for anything. With His own blood, He laid it down. Man, this thing will revolutionize your day, every day, and your life for the rest of your life and forever. And it will change your relationships and change the people that you come in contact with. And it'll change everything, how you see it. But you got to buy into it. You got to buy into it that it can. And it doesn't come with you just saying amen when there's a hot preacher on the stage. That's not buying into it. I love you, but right here don't count. It's when you leave here. What do you do with the Word of God? Do you digest it? Do you really believe what you amen, or are you just amening for me? You're not doing me any favors. I preach to people who sit there with their middle finger up on the front row at me, and I keep preaching because it is the truth and it is the life of God, and as He is, so am I now in this world. Get this for you. You get it for you and you believe it, you'll be able to look at yourself in the mirror. You'll be able to look at yourself in the mirror, both physically and in the mirror of God's Word. James talks about the mirror of the Word of God. If you'll look into that mirror every single day, throughout the day, Joshua 1:8 says, meditate on this day and night. Then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Who's going to prosper you? Who's going to make your way prosperous is you. But James said, he who will not look in the mirror, he who will not continually come back to the mirror of God's Word, look over at James. I know this is the right thing. Where are we at? Here we are. We touched on this last night. Wherefore, verse 21, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive, everyone say receive, with meekness the engrafted word. That's what's happening right now. There's a weave going on here this morning, and it's better than the weave on your head. There's a weave happening here. You notice I got a whole book of notes here, but we're weaving this morning by the Spirit. The Spirit has a way of weaving His thread into your daily life. And if you'll listen to Him in the marketplace and you'll be sensitive to Him, He'll weave the right things into your life. And He'll keep the wrong things from getting weaved in there. And before you know it, you'll have a strong mesh of God surrounding you, and you will walk around bolder than you've ever been in your whole life. Because He's weaving something for you. He's putting something together like the threads of a coat, and you'll wear it. And it'll be on you like an anointed cloak, and it'll change the way you go to class, and it'll change the way you do your summer, and it'll change the way that you talk to people. He's weaving something on you. Every time we go to the mirror of God's Word, we receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your soul. Every day, my soul needs saving. My soul is my mind, my will, and my emotions. Some people have not gotten the engrafted Word of God on their soul, and their soul is running loose and wild. They can't make up their mind to save their life. They can't make up their mind on who they want to be, what they want to do, where they want to go, the type of person they want to be, the type of person they want to be with. So the enemy has an open door to make up their mind for them. No. No, no, no. God knows everything about you. He knows where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there. Let Him weave it for you. But you got to go to the engrafted Word every day and receive it. Some folks read their Bible every day, but they don't receive a word that hits them. It takes a dang miracle for them to get to it, because they're just doing it just to get it done. Hey, listen, let me encourage you. That's better than nothing. But on purpose, make a little time each day and say, Lord, I'm not doing this just to do this. You could make that confession of faith. Lord, I'm not just reading this just to get it off my chest or get it out of the way today. I want to receive something from this. I want to look in the mirror of Your Word. I don't want to be a fool. Are you here? Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word. I can't do a word I don't know to do. He's got things in here He wants to weave into you. You say, Joe, I'd read it, but I don't know where to start. Well, honesty's the best policy, and that's all right. Do this. Open the New Testament and let it fall open. Now, it's not the best way, but it's better than no way. If you don't know where to start, start in Ephesians. Read Ephesians every single day. Just say, okay, I don't know what else to read. I'm just going to read Ephesians. And read Ephesians until you get it. And just keep reading. Now, you might stay in Ephesians for 3 months. But I tell you, at the end of 90 days, those words will be in your spirit, and all of a sudden they'll come out, and you'll be thinking Ephesians. You'll be thinking about the life of God in me. You'll be thinking about being overflowed with the Holy One. You'll be thinking, I know. Listen, if nothing else Ephesians talks about, it told us last night what the perfect will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Man, if I stay full of the Spirit, I'll stay on track. It'll lead me to the right place at the right time with the right group doing the right thing. Amen. Keep on reading. Be doers of the Word. And not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He sees himself, and then he goes away, and straightway, immediately, forgets what manner of man he was. Was there ever a time that you were on fire for the Lord? Was there ever a time that you were at a meeting like this and something was so profound and something slapped you upside the face so hard and it got in your heart? You're like, man, I will never be the same. And then 3 months later, you are the same. And then you come back to youth group, or you come back to another meeting, and then you see again, man, this is who I really want to be. There's a reason why you really want to be that way. There's a reason why you want to live right. There's a reason why you want to do right. There's a reason why you want to evangelize. There's a reason why you want to do a missions trip. There's a reason why you wish you had friends to pray in the Spirit with. There's a reason why you want to do all these spiritual things. Great unveiling, here it comes. That's who you are. Now hear me. There's a real popular statement that goes around, and it goes everywhere. You might say it's not in my group. It's not in my place. Hear me. It's trying to get everywhere. It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's the enemy, which says this. You know those people, they're just too spiritual. You know those ones that they're just too spiritual. Just, you know, too spiritual. You ever heard anyone make a statement about that? When somebody praises the way that they want to praise, and they for whatever, they got a more funky vibe than you got. And they have to move a little something. And they've got to do something. And it ain't what maybe you would do and your folks would do and your church might do. But maybe they are the one with the flags in the back and the streamers. And maybe that's not you. But don't let it come out of your mouth, oh, they're just hyper-spiritual. Because what you've done is said that they are this way and you are not. Big unveiling. You have no choice but to be spiritual. It's up to you how far you want to take it. Hear me. You have no choice but to be spiritual. Can a basketball choose to be a soccer ball? I mean, you can put the little octagons on it, but it still is not a soccer ball. Why? Because it's the wrong weight. It's the wrong size. It's not regulation. It will never get into the game. You have no choice but to be super spiritual because you are a super spirit. Boom. Don't let it wreck your program. You are a super spirit. Oh, you have a soul and live in a physical body, but did you forget who you are? You are a spirit. A spirit can't be anything but a spirit. You could say spiritual. And you go on with the Lord a little while, and He'll bring some boldness up in you. Now, many of you will instantly, as I talk this way, you'll think of that one person who is hyper-spiritual that you've been judging a while. I forgive you. Jesus forgives you. But hear me. Don't judge that. Never judge how someone else expresses themselves. Never judge how someone else, how the Lord might be working on them. You don't know everything. And you haven't been everywhere and done everything and been in everyone's shoes. Let everybody be how everyone's gonna be and you be what God's called you to be. Man, that deserved a better amen. You're acting like I offended you in some way. Let everybody around you be how they're going to be. Let them pray how they want to pray. If they want to pray loud, let them pray loud. If they want to pray soft, let them pray soft. If they want to lift their hands, listen, let people be. Because God's working on somebody. And God's doing something. And what you're called to do is be a kind, wonderful, gentle encouragement. The most spiritual people of all are the ones that are on the sidelines cheering everybody on. The most spiritual people of all, the most spiritual people in your youth group are the ones that are encouraging everyone around them to do their thing for Jesus. The most spiritual people around you are the ones that are encouraging people to grow in the Lord. Now, you might hear some funky stuff, people saying, I'm doing this and that. Unless God has given you the authority to do anything else but encourage them, even if it seems weird or far out, just love them and encourage them. Amen. Thank you for the one right. Oh, my God, this is good. Whatever He says to do, do it. Now, told you we're going to get to the nuts and bolts. We're going to shift gears. You ready for second? Second gear coming at you. Look at Mark 11. Mark 11. That was the first half. Now we're coming to the second half. And then we're going to take it into the end zone. And I am going to win the game. What is the game here to get you so pumped full of faith that you'll leave here a different person and you'll act like Jesus? Can I get a good amen? Amen. Well, since it is the second ending, I think I'll do a halftime show. This is called Bring On the Grace and Bash the Devil's Face. One thing Satan don't want you to know is that your faith in Jesus is about to grow. You are just about to take 10 steps forward. And after this next half hour, your heart will be screaming more word. Something is happening now up in you. You better get ready, Freddie. He's about to win you. And for all of y'all who don't know, my name is Joey and I am one righteous bro. I like to get down on the gospel scene, spitting righteous rhymes and dropping dimes on the devil's scene. And if anyone tries to tell you that it's not all about grace, you say, bring on the grace and bash the devil in the face. You know, I tried living without it. So many words I heard brought worry and made me doubt it. So much of what I heard preached on my television stole my joy, robbed my peace, and jacked me up with religion. I thought I still had to earn it. And along came Joseph Prince and helped me relearn it. Since then, I've been telling people here and there to let go of trying so hard and cast all their care. Some of them self-righteous folks told me I'm losing it, that you can't just have Jesus just because you be choosing it, that my righteousness was still being worked out through living and God was keeping score of all that I was giving. And the reason I'm not making it was so plain to see, and if I just stopped breaking it, it would stay solid for me. But then Jesus came along and rescued my heart. He gave me hope, in fact, and there's no need to restart. And if I alone would completely rely on His grace, when the devil came with condemnation, I could bash him in the face. I could say no to worry concerning how God felt about me. I could let go of the thought that He ever did doubt me. Freedom is mine, and I want you all to know that it's His grace alone that is causing you to grow. It's His grace alone that I stand here today, and it's His grace alone that has already made the way, and it's His grace alone that I want to share, and I wish for all of you to cast your care, and for all to finally get free in their heart, and for once in their life, not try to restart. But if everyone here has made a mistake, you're in good company, and you don't need to fake, and no longer must you fall prey to the devil's dumb trap of getting you to worry or try to take the rap. The next time he comes and tries to steer you from grace, just get your eyes on Jesus and with the sword just bash his face. Amen. You can't earn this. You can't do anything but just receive it. Thank God for the word of God. I didn't have to do anything to earn it. But hear me. Just because the work in me is a completed work, the Bible says we are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. He has all the might and the dominion. And as He is, so are we now in this world. I don't have to earn that. I just have to receive it. Now, you will have to do something about the receiving of it. I got a dollar bill here. That's just a dollar. But it's a dollar you ain't got. You say, I got a dollar, but you don't have this dollar. Now, I've got a dollar bill here. And it's yours if you want it. Somebody said, I receive it. But you haven't received nothing. I still got it. I got a dollar here. Now, see... Now see, had that been a 20, Somebody would have been up here and jacked me for that immediately. I got a 20. Boom, I know where this is going. Now, he didn't have to earn it. I said it is his. But he had to do something about receiving it. This word is standing there. It's free. In 30 minutes here, your life can change. That's not because I'm so slick. It's because the word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And if you've got questions that need answers, you can get them right now if you'll do something about receiving them. Because I can't answer in the Holy Spirit. He can answer anything you got. I can't. But if you'll do something about listening and not goofing around for the next 30 minutes, if you'll just be here and receive it, you'll walk out of here different. You'll walk out of here better. You'll walk out of here with a life change. And you'll have something that you did not have before you came in. But you got to do something about receiving it. Are you here? Say, I'm here. I'm ready. I'm paying attention. I'm growing. This is happening right now. Something's going on. I want it. I'm here. Feed me. All right. 11:22 of Mark. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now we're going to move fast here. What is the God kind of faith? Jesus said, have faith in God, or the God kind of faith. Turn to Hebrews 1. You better move quick. You said you want it. Act like you do. This ain't Sunday school. I ain't your old grandma. Hebrews 1. Now faith is. What is faith? Here we go. Now faith is substance. Everyone say substance. Of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is unseen substance, but the results of it are seen. See, I can look at you. I have the luxury of seeing everyone in the room, and I can see who's goofing off and who ain't paying attention and who just doesn't get a flip. I can see that. I can see you. So therefore, I can see the results of your faith or your lack thereof. Now you say you want something. You say you want a life change. You say, listen, you got things hidden deep in your heart that you keep complaining about your mama and asking your folks for stuff and why they won't give you anything. You can get this on your own. You can decide, I can believe God for myself. I can pray the prayer of faith for myself. I don't need nobody to give me nothing. I'll take mine. I'm going to get mine. You better get yours. Faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Here God tells us exactly what faith is. There are many kinds of faith. Now hear me just for a minute here. Many kinds of faith. Everyone saved and unsaved alike has a natural human faith. For example, people everywhere have faith that when they sit in a chair, it will support their body. Nobody in this room questioned Michael Howell or any of the staff here where the chairs were made from. Are these Mexican chairs or were these, are these European? I only sit in European chairs. I know some of you have specific needs, but not any of you. Y'all just, hey, go back to your seats after worship. You just sat down. You didn't like flip it upside down, check the welds, make sure this is double welded and you know, is this balanced? Nobody got out of level to make sure everything was good. You just sat down. That's natural human faith. Everybody on the planet has that. Now that is not the faith that Hebrews 11:1 is talking about. Stick with me. The faith that he's talking about is scriptural faith. The faith that comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10:17. Faith only comes one way. You cannot see something and get faith. You can't. If I just saw an angel, if I saw a miracle, if I saw something, I'd believe. No, you wouldn't. You might think you would, and that may have been the extent of your spiritual walk with God, but that ain't how it works. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do I know it's true? Because one, he said so, but the word trumps everything you can see and everything you can feel. I know that God is real. I know that this worship experience is real and the anointing is real, whether I feel it or not. Whether I feel anointed, I know I can lay hands on the sick, and those bodies have to obey his word. Whether I feel, oh, I feel the Spirit today, whether I feel it, whether I feel it, I'm gonna make you feel something. I don't think the anointing's on that bit. Let's try an offbeat. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. Yes, he did. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. Yes, he did. Oh, he filled me with the Holy Ghost. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Now hear me. Hear me. Even those of you hanging out who are too cool to party, you feel it, and you like it, and you love it, and you want some more of it. What is that? That is the life relating to the life. That is the life of God relating to the life of God. The Holy Spirit in you is relating to what He sees you doing. Do not let your feeling or your lack thereof in a moment dictate what God's word is for you. Because there will be times that you feel it and times that you don't. There's going to be times that you feel it and times that you don't. If you're looking for a feeling, you'll be stuck only listening to your U2 albums. Because those boys will bring some feeling through the music. And some of you, that's not your joint. That ain't your scene. You're like Little Wayne or whatever it is you're into. I don't know. Maybe it's minister. Maybe you only listen to spirit-filled music. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
Even though some of you know you've been hiding those records under your pillow so mama don't see them. Yeah, see, you're not amening that because you know it's you, some of you. Bless your heart. Feeling ain't nothing. A movie make you feel good. Movie make you feel bad. Movie make you feel scared. A record make you feel good. Record make you feel low, make you feel high, make you feel jumpy, make you feel antsy, make you feel like, woo, I gotta get my groove on. Some of y'all dance up the shower like it ain't nobody's business. Some of you have slipped and fallen in your shower because you were jamming out to some record and dropped the soap on the ground. Some of you in your car, in your bedroom, you be getting the funk on. And you feel good. I knew that I would now. I feel good. But see, check it. That ain't the faith he's talking about. See, when I feel it all the time, it won't require any faith. Look at Hebrews 11. Did you find it? Flip over a page and find verse 6. Without faith, it's not possible to please him. Check it out. There are times God's setting you up all the time. And those times that you don't feel nothing, you don't feel his presence, you don't feel like he's there, but you know there's a target and you're supposed to knock it down. You're supposed to do something right now. And it seems like, man, I've been praying in tongues for a half hour. I don't feel any different. That is the line that the Lord wants you to cross. Because then it's not based on how good you felt. It's totally faith that God told me to do this. I'm about to go over this line. See, when I pull out my harmonica, I'm not really a great entertainer. Somebody asked me last night, do you do that all the time? I said, lately I've been doing it. I've been playing the harmonica my whole life. It's only in recent years that I've pulled it out. I don't sing. I'm not a singer in a band, as you can tell. But see, I step and I see myself doing something, and God says, just on the inside, just take it there. Last night when I came out and sang for you and sang for the Lord, that's not me. I'm not Michael Howell. I'm not the worship team. I mean, minister got up here and destroyed this stage. That's not me. People say it takes a lot of guts to read rhymes after a professional rapper. That ain't me. I'm not doing it for me. And I'm not doing it for you. I see myself do something. And I don't feel like doing it. I don't just go around rapping all day. I ain't Eminem. No. But see, I see something. I'll be somewhere. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will give me a little rhyme and I'll write it down or I'll speak it in my cell phone. And then I'll get up and I'll share it. Why? Because it helps people get there. Music is designed to help people get there. Where? To that place of faith. But hear me, concerning your personal life, God's got some things and some places and opportunities, and you're not going to feel anything. But you step out of the natural by going, Lord, I'm not going to let the feelings rob me of this experience. And I step over by faith on a word from God. I don't feel like witnessing to this person. I don't feel like praying in tongues right now. I just feel like turning on the stereo, but your spirit man saying, turn that off. Turn on some teaching. Pray in the spirit. Talk about Jesus in this moment. This person's talking. They need help. Bring up Jesus somehow. Bring up a scripture. Bring God into the moment. And you don't feel like it, but if by faith you'll step over the line of feeling, you step into the realm of the supernatural. Obedience brings miracles. Obedience brings blessing. Obedience brings God on the scene. Scriptural faith is a faith that believes with the heart in spite of what physical senses or circumstances are currently saying. Scriptural faith is faith that believes with the heart in spite of what the physical senses or circumstances might say. One famous man named John Wesley He was the co-founder of the Methodist Church. Maybe you've heard of them. He said the devil has given the church a substitute for faith called mental assent, which is believing only with your mind, not with your heart. Some folks have been trying to tap into the miraculous and tap into the what God wants them to do, which is a spiritual thing. And they want to get into that spiritual realm of faith, but they're trying to do it only up here. No, you can get out of here and get into here. You can get out of here because here will change with the feeling. Fast music, slow music. Do we lift our hands up and wave, or is it time to clap? Your mind's telling you, okay, it's fast. Now we're going to do this. But now it's time to do this. And maybe even somebody on the stage is telling you what to do and this and that. All these things are going on up here. I'll tell you, there'll be somebody in here, the Holy Ghost, who will bear witness with the real you in here. And they say, right now, it's just time to worship. And everybody else may be jamming out, but in that moment you get caught up with God because it's happening in here. It's not out here. It's not dictated to you what I'm supposed to do. Hello? I'm kind of over getting told to throw my hands up in the air. So there. Don't act like you don't know it and you want to sing it right now. I'm kind of over getting told to throw my hands up in the air. So there. I think I'm kind of over getting told by everything outward what I'm supposed to do. You see, outward things come and go and they change. And they tell you what to do and how to do it. But the inward man, he knows what to do and when. And he'll lead you to the right place at the right time. He's got a reason. He's got a plan. Scriptural faith is what he's talking about here. Almost done. Many people will agree that the Bible is true, but they're agreeing only with their minds. You can amen with your mind. You can hear a word and go, well, he said that with some feeling. It must be real. He said that with some oomph. He said it with a harmonica. He's got rhymes. It must be real. You're smarter than that. You know what to amen and what not to. If I was up here telling you, you are not going to make it, man. It's iffy for you. I mean, you know, God will use some of y'all. But some of y'all just ain't got a hope. I mean, some of y'all never going to go on a mission trip. You're never going to see anybody healed. You're never going to win anyone to the Lord. I'm waiting for some help here. You ain't never going to just, it ain't happening for you. You know, you're ugly. Man, you better shout me down. You're ugly. Some of y'all, all right. I think you got it. See, you know, where'd that come from? It comes from what you put in here. You know what to amen and what not to amen. You know what to listen to and what not to listen to. You know what frees your spirit and frees up your soul and what confines you. You know it. You may not even know it up here, but you know it in here. Now here's the golden key. If you will feed that in here. If you will feed that in here, it'll get louder. See, you got friends that refuse to listen to certain types of music because they're strong in here. And they're not afraid to tell you, no, I don't listen to that. And for some of you, that's too much. That's in the deep end of the pool. And you're still in the shallow end with your water wings. I'm not making fun of you. I've been there. But you got friends in your life that if it ain't word, it ain't for them. Listen, don't you make fun of that. Don't you pick on that. And maybe their display of that is harsh, and maybe it's not how you would be. Maybe you're too cool to act a certain way, but hear me. God can grow you. You feed what's in here, you'll get up out of the movie theater at certain movies and go ask for your $12.75 bang, and you'll just look the person right in the face and say, I shouldn't have come to this. And they might say, is the projector broken? Was it the sound? You say, no, I shouldn't be here. And you won't have any, you'll just smile and go, you know, I really made a mistake. This is not my kind of movie. And you just look at them and they'll give you $12.75 back. And see, that's the difference between me and some of you. But you can be that way. Say, oh man, I couldn't get it. Yeah, you can. It's the same way that you say, no, I ain't going to get sick. It's the same way you decide, I ain't going to be broke the rest of my life. It's the same way you decide, no, I'm not going to cuss. I'm just not going to do that. And you look at all your friends and all those around you and say, you know, I just appreciate if you didn't talk that way. You just say it with a smile. And you'll have all the confidence in the world because what you put on the inside builds that faith, man. It makes you confident. It doesn't make you arrogant or cocky or rude. See, some of you are still working out. You're refining the edges. Your abrasiveness has not fallen off of you yet. You're getting slicker as we're talking here. But you'll just smile and go, man, I don't cuss. And that joke, that's not me. Just for a future reference, what you just said, that's not me at all. And just to let you know, I don't jive like that. That ain't my thing. You know, I love Jesus. And you'll find comfortability in your faith and your walk with God, not to be that person that's putting it in everyone's face and just throwing it at them like you're better. No, but see, you've been building up, the Bible calls an edifice. You've been building up on the inside and you're expanding because you've been feeding that scriptural faith in you. And that's what you know. And when the counterfeit comes along, you recognize, you say, no, and in a kind, loving, gentle way, you don't have to lose any friends over this. One of my best friends is an atheist. A man I consider a real brother. Does not believe in God. He loves me. He knows I'm a preacher. We've been friends now going on 8 or 9 years. One of my closest friends. He was there when no Christian believer did anything for me besides my own family. He was the first man that came to my house when all hell was breaking loose. He said, whatever you need, I'll take care of you. You can come be with us. We are your real friends. And we don't even believe in the same God yet. But when it comes to him and I, we're cool. I share with him. He shares with me. And everything I got is filled with the life of God. And he knows it. And it's not because I throw it in his faith. I don't have to throw anything at anyone to hurt anybody. No, if I build it up on the inside, it becomes real. And then it comes out to me and it's real. Man, you want to be more real? Brother Jeremy, Sister Sarah, the Pearsons. Two classy, cool people. They told me yesterday, they said, all we want right now in our ministry is the real. We want everything we say and do to be real. You want to be real? You want the real in you? You want real power, real authority, real respect, real stuff to give to people? Build it up on the inside of you. Feed your faith every day. Take that yellow book. Listen, if you left here last night and didn't take a free yellow book, what are you thinking? It's free. Take it. It's free. That on the inside of you, the Word of God. Build it up, meditate, meditate, stand to your feet. Let's go out of here like this. Let's savor the moment. Hear me. This will work for you. In Mark 11, the next verse, Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever would say, everyone say, say, unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith. Everyone say, say. Shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Everyone say, say. You can get a structure of the life of God. You can get the real built up so strong in you if you'll just do what he said to do. What did he say to do? Jesus used the word say 3 times in one verse. What are you saying? What have you been saying? If you will say the confessions in that book, hear me. I'm not selling you a book. I gave it to you. If you'll say those Holy Ghost inspired confessions at the back of that book, they're easy to find. They say confessions. If you'll say those every day, hear me. Hear me. For 30 days. In 1 month, you will be a different person. So you can't guarantee that. I sure can. I can guarantee everything the Bible says. Jesus said, say three times in Mark 11:23. Some of you have been under the burden of what you can or cannot believe for. Hear me. Forget that. Set aside the concern. Cast your care of what you can or cannot currently believe for. Start saying His word. Say it and say it and say it. Look at yourself in the mirror like John G. Lake and say, God's in that man. God's in you. You're full of the Spirit of life. The life of God's in you. You can do all things through Christ. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, God's in you. Whether you feel like it or not, God's in you. God's in you. Wake up, Joey. God's in you. You haven't lost anything. Wake up. You can do this. You can overcome. God's in you. He's all over you. Look at you. You're brilliant. You're sharp. You're smart. You're bright. You're intelligent. You're never going under, always going over. You triumph in the midst of adversity. You're called and anointed. You've got a ministry. Wake up, you. You start talking to yourself like that and stop talking the other way. Proverbs 18:20-21 says, death and life are in the power of your tongue. Speak life over you. Speak life over yourself. Speak life over your friends. Stop janking your friend's cord every time you can. I know you're funny. I'm funny. But build somebody up today. Those packets I got out there, there's a wax lips and a vintage button. And it's a reminder to button your lip. Build each other up. Lift each other up. Speak life to one another. Next 30 days, do it. Do it. Make a change. I'm only going to talk life. I'm only going to talk Jesus. And He'll show up. I love you. God bless you.